We're doing the Rambam's introduction to the Mishnah, and the Rambam had gone off on a tangent to tell us about the different laws, the different rules of how we validate prophecy and how we accept a prophet and what a prophet may or may not tell us with regard to the Torah. And now the Rambam's continuing the way he's been going. The Rambam's been telling us the handing over of the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Rambam's continuing now. We discussed how Moshe taught the Torah to Yoshua and to Aaron and to Aaron's children and to the elders and to all of the Jewish people, and how the Torah was reviewed by the people, and any question they had they posed to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Yoshua and the students, etc. And now we're holding by Yoshua, so the Rambam's continuing. We're on page Chaf Chet in the Rambam Lam edition of the introduction to the Mishnah. V'chasher met Yoshua binun alav ha-shalom. And when Yoshua binun passed away, limed lazkenim ma shekibel min ha-perush u ma sheotzi bizmano min ha-dinim. He taught the elders what he had on tradition of how to learn the Torah and what they derived in his time, the different laws. V'lo nafla alav machloket, the things that were on tradition, there was no machloket. Before we continue, I meant to say this at the beginning. Our learning should be in the memory of the students of Yeshivat Merkaz Rav who were murdered last night, and for the merit of the speedy healing of those that are still wounded. And if they had a halacha that there was a machlokes about, so then they came to account and they gave a ruling. They went by the majority, the way the Torah tells us. And regarding those elders that were with Yoshua, who together with Yoshua, they came to account and gave halachic ruling about those elders, the pasuk says, throughout the days of the elders that had longevity, long days after Yoshua. And those elders then taught what they had on tradition from Yoshua, who learned by Moshe. They taught this to the prophets. And the prophets continued the tradition, passing it from one to the other. And there was no period in our history that didn't have some new insights into the Torah, branches of the mitzvot that we had that they delved into, and they looked deeply into the mitzvot. And the wise men of each generation, they took what their predecessors said and they treated that as the main point. And at first they worked on understanding what their predecessors said. After they understood it, they'd try to derive from what they said. And then, when they had new questions to contend with, so those new questions, they analyzed in light of the previous cases that their elders, that their predecessors had ruled, they gave ruling. So just like in court, I don't remember what it's called, there's a concept that precedent. There's a concept that if a previous court gave ruling on a certain case, we give that precedent. So that concept began here with Yoshua and then the elders, that whatever had precedent, they'd learn, they'd study the precedent, and then whatever didn't have precedent, they try to derive from the rules they had, the laws they had, and the precedents they had. The main points that they had on tradition, there was no argument with regard to them. Till we reach the period of the men of the great assembly, and they are Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the three prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and Ezra, the Sofer, ונחמיה בן חחליה ומרדכי וזרובבל בן שלתיאל ונלוו לאלה הנביאים השלמת 120 זקן. And together with these elders there were 120 elders. So we have these elders, we know their names from the Tanakh, that they were part of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Aside from them, so we had over here listing Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Ezra, Nehemiah, Mordechai, Zerubbabel. We had 11. There were another 109 elders as part of the Great Assembly. Now, these elders, the Rambam says, were min ha-charash ma-masgir v'domihim. They were among those that the Navi refers to them as the blacksmiths, the locksmiths, that when Nebuchadnezzar came to conquer the land in the destruction of the first temple, so first he conquered, and he said, okay, now I'm going to let you guys stay here, but don't rebel against me, and I'm going to take away all the leaders. And he took all the rabbis out of Jerusalem, and the king, he exiled all of them to Babylon, and this was, we're going to learn next week, this was about a decade before the ultimate destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So when he took them out, the Navi describes that he exiled first the locksmiths and the blacksmiths. So the Gemara says, who are these locksmiths and blacksmiths? Why was it so important to him to exile them? The Gemara says, no, that's a nickname that the rabbis had. It means that he didn't want the Jews to rebel. He said, look, I conquered you once, don't rebel against me now. So he exiled all the leaders, he exiled all the rabbis, and in essence, historically, we're going to discuss next week, this was a great favor to the Jewish people, because in essence what happened was that when the Jewish population at large was exiled approximately a decade later, they came to Babylon and found there were yeshivas set up already, there were shuls set up. The fact that he exiled the rabbis first, historically, provided us a religious atmosphere to enter when the rest of the people were exiled. So the men of the Great Assembly, the Rambam saying, were these 11 rabbis that he enumerated, and prophets, and among the people who were of the Great Assembly were these locksmiths and blacksmiths. So they must have lived a very long life. If they were rabbis at the time of the destruction of the temple, and they were around 70 years later, so they lived a long life. The truth is, we see that about Mordechai. Mordechai, the Megillah says, Min ha-gola she-hogleta im Yechoniah melech Yehuda. Mordechai was among those that were exiled with the king Yechoniah. That was the first exile by Nebuchadnezzar. And that's an indication that Mordechai was already a big rabbi in the time of the first exile. And the whole story of the Megillah is occurring 70 years later. So we see that Mordechai lived a long life, and I guess others also did. So the Rambam saying that the men of the Great Assembly numbered 120. Among them were these great rabbis. Now, it's interesting. There's a discussion, where did we get the number 120? We find that when Daniel established advisors for the king of Persia, so he had a system. There were three top advisors and 120 advisors beneath them. Over there we find the number 120. In Chazal we don't find the number 120, other than the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. That's the first time we find this concept. In Chazal, the concept of 120 is problematic because a bezdin has to be an odd number. And the largest bezdin we have is 71. So the question arises, where did they get this concept of 120 from? We find the concept in the Persian Empire. But what does that have to do with our sages? So this is a discussion that we won't have time to go into today. But it's interesting that the Rambam seems to learn that there were 120 people at one period. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying. There are those that say the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah numbered 71, like the greatest Bezdin, like the Sanhedrin numbered throughout our history. And the number 120 is a reference to how many rabbis were in this great assembly while they were in the period of the great assembly, meaning that we always had a Sanhedrin, we always had a high court. But there was this period under Ezra where the high court took on to make all kinds of institutions. So they instituted muktzah, and they instituted the prayers, and they instituted blessings, a set form for prayer and blessings. And they instituted many things. Judaism, the way we know it today, is in a great part thanks to the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So this period of institution lasted for a number of years. It didn't all happen in one day. So some want to say that there were 71 on the court, but over the years, some passed away and others replaced them. And altogether, they numbered 120. The Rambam doesn't seem to be going that way. The Rambam seems to be saying there were 120 rabbis. So these men of the Great Assembly, the Rambam said, we have from Yoshua to the elders to the prophets to Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the prophets passed one to the other till we reach Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. V'itbonu gamem kashasu kakodnimem. And Anshei Knesset HaGdolah also analyzed the Torah and analyzed the precedents just as their predecessors had. And they made decrees and they made institutions. And the last one of that pure congregation, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly, the last one, is the first of the rabbis that are mentioned in the Mishnah, the who and that rabbi is Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik is the first Tana mentioned in the Mishnah, and he's the last one that who I am Shereik Knesset HaGdolah. He was the last one, the remnant of the men of the great assembly. And he was the high priest in that generation. He took the Kuna Gdolah after Ezra Sofer. Ezra and then him, if I'm not mistaken. And afterwards, as we go down through history till we reach Rabbi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Alav HaShalom. Rabbi Yehudana. And now the Rambam is going to take a minute to tell us how special Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was. He was singular in his generation and in his time. Ish Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the one who compiled the Mishnah, he was a man. Anything that people desire, any good trait, you could find in Rabbi, in Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Ad shezahaven etzel anshei doro, till he was so special that the people of his generation named him Likoto, they named him Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He's the only Tana that has this nickname. Our holy rabbi. That's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's name. The one who compiled the Mishnah got this nickname because he was so spectacular in his traits. Ushmo, his real name was Yehuda. V'aya bechokhma uvema'ala betachlitan. And he was the essence of wisdom and elevated traits, כמו שמבוז, our stages, said, נימות משה ועד רבי לא ראינו תורה גדולה במקום אחד. From the days of Moshe to the days of Rabbi, we never witnessed Torah and greatness in one place. Moshe Rabbeinu had Torah and greatness, all the good traits, everything a person could imagine in one person. And the only time we saw that again in our history, the Gemara says, was Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. והיה בתכלית החסידות, he was the essence of piety, the anava and modesty, v'achakata tanugim, and distance himself from pleasure. The Gemara says that when Rabbi was about to pass away, he raised his 10 fingers to heaven and he said, God, you know that I used these 10 fingers to delve in Torah and I didn't take for myself even a pinky's worth of pleasure in this world. I took everything I had and I invested it to serve you, to delve into the Torah. So the Rambam saying Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was such a pious person, he even distanced himself from pleasures. Kmo shamu gamken, as the Mishnah records, Mishemet Rebbe, when Rebbe passed away, batela anava v'irat chet. Our sages considered it that the whole generation went down, that all the Jewish people felt they would never again encounter a person who had modesty or fearfulness of sin. Rebbe was so great that they felt like it's never coming again. The whole Jewish people lost this trait. Yeah?
As I know, STDs or this abstinence from pleasure, it is not Jewish conception. How is this old holiday? How is Shabbat?
If one is on the proper level, then when one enjoys Shabbat, he's doing it for the sake of serving his Creator. The problem is that we are very focused on ourselves. When we come to Shabbat, so we say, I'm doing in honor of Shabbos. But really, who am I doing in honor of? Myself. I have an excuse to feel holy when I'm doing in honor of myself. The essence, the ideal would be to really do in honor of Shabbos. When Rebbe raised his fingers, he didn't say, I never made Kiddush and enjoyed the wine. But what he was saying is, I never took the pleasures for myself. I always did it in the truest sense for you, Hashem. And that's something which I don't know who of us could say we did that. There's a story of a woman who had sinned, and the rabbi asked her, did you do it willfully or not? So she said, I didn't do it willfully. So he said, what do you mean, you didn't enjoy it when you did it? So she said to him, Rebbe, if you're standing in the middle of Yom Kippur, and someone takes a finger dipped in honey, and sticks it into your mouth, you didn't have a choice. You sinned. It wasn't willfully. If someone's going to ask you, did you enjoy it or didn't you enjoy it, are you going to be able to say you didn't enjoy it? The Gemara records this conversation. So we're on the level where it's not like we're disgusted when we get honey in our mouth on Yom Kippur. It's like, I shouldn't have this in my mouth, but I'm enjoying it. And by the same token, when we do the mitzvot, there's a tremendous aspect where I enjoy it, because I. And in truth, the beginning has to be, I'm serving my Creator. My Creator wants me to enjoy on Shabbos. I'm doing it, but out of the focus is serving my Creator. proof of the pudding is how we behave. That's not what we're talking about. Vayatzach lashon umuflag mikol adam bilshon hakodesh. And Rebbe had such a pure language. He was exceptional in his mastery of the Hebrew tongue. It reached the point that the sages of blessed memory the rabbis had verses in the Tanakh, in the Bible, that they didn't know what the words meant. They had verses in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kra Serugin. If you read the Mishnah and you paused, and then you read it and you paused, what does that mean? They didn't know. So they heard his maid, that she used the word, and from his maid they knew how to use it. The Gemara records many things. They didn't know what the word matate. Right? The Pasuk says, V'teititia b'matate ashmed. So the rabbis didn't know what was the word matate. In modern Hebrew, we all know matate is a broom. But in ancient times, it wasn't a commonly used word. So the prophet uses the word, and the rabbis didn't know what does the prophet mean to say. Till they heard Rebbe's maid say to her neighbor, here, take the matate, when you give me back my matate. So they understood that matate is a broom. Rebbe had such a pure language, and he had such a mastery of the Jewish tongue, that even his servants spoke a wonderful Hebrew, and the rabbis could learn from his servants words that they weren't sure what they meant. So we find that that's famous in the Talmud. So what the Rambam's doing is he's setting up our understanding as to why Rabbi Yehuda was chosen to compile the Mishnah. So he's saying we have to understand who this individual was. He was exceptional. He had exceptional traits. He was so exceptional that he got a nickname that no one else got. Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Think about it. Who else is called Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the only two we find that are called Rabbeinu. Moshe and Rebbe. Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So the generation felt that it was important to equate him with Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu. And from the time of Moshe to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, they said, we never saw Torah and greatness the way we see it here together. Good question. The Gemara asks it. When we learn that Gemara, we'll see the discussion. And the Rambam's telling us his modesty, his piety, that he distanced himself from worldly pleasures, and his mastery of the language. Now, all of these are very important because we're about to learn that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi went against the tradition. The tradition was that you don't write down the oral law. We derived from the verse 2 weeks ago in the parasha that we're not permitted to write down the oral law. So Rebbe is going to change that with the agreement of the rabbis of his generation, and he's going to institute the written oral law, the Mishnah. So the Rambam's introducing who is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi who did all of this. V'yalo min ha'osher v'ahon v'rochav ha'yicholet, and Rebbe had tremendous wealth and capability to use that wealth, k'mo she'ne'emar bo, like the Gemara says, ahuryare de Rebbe, Rebbe's horsekeeper, his stableman, the man who watched Rebbe's horses, hava atil, was more wealthy min shavo malka than shavo, the king of Persia. So the one who watched Rebbe's horses was wealthier than the Persian king. That's how wealthy Rebbe was. V'chen yichiv hu al anshei chokma umvakshea v'ribetz Torah b'Yisrael. And so too, Rebbe spread his wealth to men of wisdom and those who seek wisdom, and he taught a tremendous amount of Torah to the Jewish people. V'asapa alachot v'dibrei hachachamim v'amachlokot amkubalot mimot Moshe Rabbeinu ad yimotam. And he collected the halachos, the words of our sages, the disagreements that were on tradition from the time of Moshe to his day. And he was one of those who were part of the chain of tradition. And now the Rambam is going to enumerate the chain. Shehu kibel, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi got the tradition Mishimon Aviv, from his father Shimon. Vishimon, his father Shimon, got the tradition from Gamliel Aviv, his father Rabbi Gamliel. Vehu Mishimon Aviv, Vehu Migamliel Azaken, Vehu Mishimon, Vehu Meilel. So we have Rebbe, Shimon, Gamliel, and that's the young Rabban Gamliel who we learned about was after the destruction of the temple. He was the one who had the argument with Rabbi Yoshua that they removed him from his rights to be Nasi. And he received it from Shimon, who received it from Gamliel Azaken, that's the elder Rabbi Gamliel, who was murdered by the Romans. And he received it from Shimon, who received it from Hillel, who received it from his Rabbeim Shmaya and Avtalion. Vehem Miuda ben Tabai Shimon ben Shetach. And now we're up to the pairs. The pairs of the Zugot that are enumerated in the beginning of Pirkei Avot, they got the tradition from Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach, we know, was a relative of Shlem Tzion Amalka. In his generation, all the rabbis were executed. Yeah, his sister saved him. His sister was the queen. She was the wife of Yanai HaMelech. Vehem, and they got the tradition from Yeshua ben Pachya and Nitai Arbeli. Vehem, and they got it from Yossi ben Yoezer Yisradav, Yossi ben Yochanan. They got it from Antignos Yisocho. He got it from Shimon HaTzadik. And he got it from Ezra the Sofer, Shaya Misharei Anshei Knesset HaGdola. That Shimon HaTzadik was the remnant of the men of the Great Assembly. Ezra got his tradition from Baruch ben Neriah, his Rebbe. And Baruch ben Neriah was the disciple of the prophet Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah. Undoubtedly, Yirmiyahu, the prophet Jeremiah, received the tradition from the prophets that preceded him. We go back through the prophets till the elders who received it from Yeshua, who received it from Moshe. So what we saw today, we saw that Yeshua taught the elders the prophets, and it went down all the way to Rebbe. The men of the Great Assembly, we said the remnant of them was Shimon HaTzadik, he was the Kohen Gadol. We went down to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and the Rambam described how exceptional Rabbi was, that he got the nickname Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He was exceptional in his wisdom, in his mastery of the language, in his wealth, in his teachings of the Torah, and he gathered the halachos, and soon we're going to discuss how he compiled the Mishnah. And then the Rambam ended off this section by describing the tradition that Rebbe had going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu.